Stop 6. Writer Emma Dabbery on racialized whiteness. Please note, this stop discusses racism.
Hello, Emma Dabbery here again. The objects collected in front of you in the glass case explore the theme of racialized whiteness and skin whitening. Skin lightening has a range of cultural origins depending on the region. In India and Japan, a preference for light skin predates colonialism and ideas about racialized whiteness. Pre-colonial ideas were linked to ideas about status, the nature of outside work, and economic class, and/or notions of spiritual purity. In other cultures, the association of light skin with status was introduced through European domination via slavery, colonialism, and globalization. Whatever its origins, it is now inextricably linked to hierarchies of race and notions of whiteness. Towards the center of the case is packaging for skin whitening products still sold today. Each cardboard box is about the size of the container you might buy your toothpaste in. The box on the left is printed in white at the top with a pink gradient towards the bottom. The product name, Fair and Lovely, is branded in elegant script across the top. The center of the box shows a woman's face, likely of South Asian heritage, with light skin tones and a faint but contented smile on her face. Around her winds a white ribbon in a shape reminiscent of a genetic double helix, proffering the vague suggestion of scientific rigor. This particular skin whitening product, recently rebranded as Glow and Lovely, after receiving heavy criticism from activists in 2020, is produced by Unilever and marketed primarily in South Asia. In India, pre-existing narratives about light skin became much more deeply entrenched, with British rulers reinterpreting caste groupings in conformity with their narratives about race, which were underpinned by scientific racism. Fast forward to 2021, and the global skin lightening industry was valued at almost $10 billion. The biggest consumer being the Asia-Pacific region. In 2022, Asia-Pacific dominated the global skin lightening products market with a 54.8% market share, and according to Grandview Research, North America is the second fastest growing market. In 2011, the World Health Organization reported that 40% of African women bleached their skin. In Nigeria, 77% of women engaged in skin bleaching. While Ghana imposed a ban in 2017, Uganda in 2016, and Ivory Coast in 2015, the products remain widely available. The outcomes of differences in complexion vary in different parts of the world. In India, there is a relationship between complexion and the caste system, while in many parts of the Caribbean, economic class amongst people of African descent was often stratified according to mixed ancestry, subsequently resulting in a class of lighter-skinned people occupying the ranks of the elite with access to attendant material advantages. In other places, preference for lighter skin operates on more of an interpersonal level in terms of favoritism and desirability. Whatever the root causes, it remains a potent and pervasive phenomenon around the world. While skin colour is a significant part of it, racialized whiteness is about much more than melanin. The terms we use to categorize people tend to place the emphasis on complexion alone. This is an oversimplification, however. There are many people in the world who are neither categorized as black or white, and yet still experience cultural pressure to have Caucasian features. In the center of the case is an edition of the popular manga from Japan, The Rose of Versailles, first written by Ryoko Ikeda in the early 1970s. A historical drama set in France around the time of the French Revolution, the manga series follows the life of its main character, Oscar François de Jauger. The portrayal of this heroine, shown on the front cover before you, demonstrates a representation of stereotypical Western beauty standards through a Japanese lens. In addition to white skin, Oscar has tumbling blonde locks, bright blue eyes, and double eyes. Next to the manga, the same character's eyes feature as the centerpiece of the packaging for a mascara, her luscious mascara-eyed eyes staring out. Around 50% of Asian people are born without a visible eyelid crease above their lash line. In 1896, Japanese surgeon Mikamo developed a procedure known as blepharoplasty in order to address this, believing the double eyelid to be more attractive. According to a report by the International Society of Aesthetic Plastic Surgery, eyelid procedures are particularly popular in Asia, where they remain the most commonly requested surgery. In Japan, 187,000 eyelid procedures were done in 2017, far exceeding the amount of every other surgical procedure combined. It is important to note that this preference did not predate Western influence. In South Korea today, corrective double eyelid surgery has been normalized as a means of becoming more attractive in a country where a photograph generally accompanies a resume and posts on job blogs make announcements that big firms prefer pretty eyes. The pressure to conform to aspects of racialized whiteness can be pernicious.
End of stop 6. The next track is stop 7. Curator Janice Lee introduces An Algorithmic Gaze 2 by Cecilia Wagner-Falkenstrom and the Artificial Mind Studio. Just follow the tactile floor line to the next grey square.